The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome Mindset Evolution. I'll also cover the top movies, my NFL pigskin picks, skin pants, and our top Halloween horror movies. All this and more on Revelator.
Delivering the goods at every freaking turn.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Revelator. I'm your host, Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate it. And oh, baby, we got a heck of a show for you tonight. Rob from Mindset Evolution, big time up and coming band from Peoria, Illinois, stopping by, playing a bunch of tracks from their new album. So definitely stick around for that. Very, very good stuff. You do not want to miss it. Also, we spent a little bit of time compiling our top 10 horror film list just in time for Halloween. So huddle the kids around the TV and pick a horror movie. We'll be doing that later as well. But I wanted to start off with this particular story. You know, I love fun stories. I really do. And sometimes the story writes themselves. This one, I add a little extra. This gentleman here, Walter Serpitt of Columbus, Georgia, was watching television at his house Thursday afternoon when a new water heater is believed to start a fire. As the room filled with smoke, five other adults and two children escaped to safety. This is reported by ABC 2 News in the area. Once clear of the structure, though, Walter decided, you know what? Forget about family photos or pets or family heirlooms or any of those things. I'm going back into this burning building to rescue some beer. Unbelievable. He told them, forget about the kids and everything else. He's like, I had to go get me some alcohol. And we've got a clip here. You got to hear this. This is unbelievable.
I told him to get the kids on everything. And me, myself, being an alcoholic, I was trying to get my beer out. You feel me? I went back in the house like a dummy trying to get my beer out. And the door shut on because his backdraft was about to kill me. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it was.
That's courtesy of WTVM, the ABC affiliate there. And like a dumb, I went back in and get myself some beer. You remember those commercials? And the article actually kind of led me onto this. Remember those articles Anheuser-Busch used to do, Real Men of Genius? Well, they haven't done those in, I don't know, it's been, 3-4 years now, you know. But I decided, they mentioned it in the article, and I decided to kind of write my own ode to the Real Men of Genius, Walter. I obviously don't have any music to it, but I'll just go ahead and read you what I wrote. I hope you enjoyed it. It's pretty fun to write. Real Men of Genius, we salute you, Walter, for running into a burning building to grab a beer. To hell with women and children and family heirlooms and pets. The fire is going to make my beer warm and skunky. I'm going to save my beer. Real men of genius. When the fire rises, you are the quench just for my beer. Whether it's the king of beers tapping the Rockies or asking myself running into a fire, is it more taste or less filling? Is it something that the guys from the Guinness commercial would say, brilliance, I expect not. Real men of genius, this goes out to you, Walter, for running into a burning building to feed your alcoholic drive. The VH copy of Backdraft thanks you, old alcoholic, drunk ash and cinder. This beer's for you, real men of genius, Walter. Nice work, Walter. Save the beer, baby. I don't know what kind of beer it was. I don't know if it was Red Stripe, baby. It was just a good old Bud, you know? I wonder if he came out with his buddy. He's got ash and stuff all over him. He's like, "What's up?" I don't know if he does that or not. When he comes out, but maybe it'd be really a little bit more funny if he did, as opposed to "Yeah, I'm an alcoholic. I'm gonna run into a burning building to get beer. I have more. Fuck it. I'm doing it." Unbelievable. Now this is a story fitting for our Halloween show tonight. skinny pants. Now, I'm sure, you know, everyone's aware of the trend that these guys are in, girls are walking around with these skinny pants and stuff. And by the way, guys, stop it. Just fucking stop. Just quit fucking wearing those things, for Christ's sakes. Jesus. Anyway, now this takes place back in the 17th century in Iceland. Legend has it that if you were gifted with an endless money supply, if you were to flay a corpse from the waist down and wear the skin, hair, genitals, and all, and you have to wear these as pants. Icelandic mystics call them necropants. Now, many news outlets in the area have inaccurately reported this, but apparently necropants can be found in a museum. It's only a replica, according to the museum, but after someone has been buried, you must dig the body up and flay the skin and corpse in one piece from the waist down. As soon as you step into the pants, they will stick to your own skin. Then, according to Icelandic folklore, a coin must be stolen from a poor widow and placed on the scrotum along with a magical sign written on a piece of paper. Stick with me here. Coincidentally, the coin will draw money into the scrotum, so you will never be empty as long as the original coin is not removed. To ensure salvation, the owner has to convince someone else to overtake the pants and step into each leg's skin, so the necropants thus will keep the money-gathering nature and profit for generations to come. What the hell? So basically, I understand this from the article, is that if you basically find a corpse, preferably someone in your family, I guess, and you take the skin, scrotum and all, everything, preferably a male, obviously, and you put the skin pants on your naked skin and you wear them, and then you put a coin on the dead scrotum skin and money will generate to you. You know what the scary thing is that I'm sure someone's probably going to go out there and try something stupid like this. And I encourage you not to, actually. Do not do this. This is Icelandic 17th century stuff. If you're interested in finding more about it, I'm sure you can go to the Museum of Icelandic Sorcery and Witchcraft and check out the necropants that they have on display there. Again, they are only a replica, but they're still really creepy looking. I will say that. So a very, very odd stuff there. So moving on tonight, we have the top movies at the box office this past weekend. Insidious Chapter 2, 0.88 million. Not doing very well, but it's been out for a couple weeks now, though. Prisoners, 1.7 million. Number 9, Enough Said, at 1.5 million. 12 Years a Slave, 2.1 million. Escape Plan, 4.5 million. Carrie, the remake, 5.9 million. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 at 6.2 million. The Counselor, 7.8 million, which looks really good, by the way. Opening weekend, kind of disappointing at only 7.8 million. Still looks like a great film. Captain Phillips, based on a true story with Tom Hanks, 11.6 million. The movie Gravity has made almost $200 million in 4 weeks at the box office this past weekend, 20.1 million. And opening up at number one, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, opening up at $32 million. I've seen some previews for this, and I actually got to see the little kid who's in this movie on Conan O'Brien last week. And it looks really, really good. If you're a fan of the Jackass movies, I would imagine this one's right up your alley. I like the first Jackass film, and this one looks very clever, and Johnny Knoxville is a pretty funny dude, so I imagine it's pretty hilarious. Johnny Knoxville dressed as a grandfather with this 9-year-old kid going around causing mischief. Looks like a good fun time to be had at the movie theater. Not such a fun time, and really a loss to the music community here, and that is the death of Lou Reed at the age of 71 years old. The Velvet Underground never really achieved commercial success in the 1960s, although their influence in music in later decades was really widely recognized. David Bowie remained friends with Reed after co-producing his 1972 solo album Transformer. A punk, glam, alternative rock movement in the 70s, 80s, and 90s were indebted to Reed, whose songs were covered by the likes of R.E.M., David Bowie, Nirvana, Patti Smith, and countless others, even still today. Music producer Brian Eno once summed up their influence by saying, "The first Velvet Underground album only sold 10,000 copies, but everyone who bought that wanted to form a band." Now, the group was inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996. After quitting Velvet Underground in 1970, Reed released his self-titled debut in 1972, But it wasn't until David Bowie produced LP Transformer later that year, which developed both Perfect Day and also Walk on the Wild Side, where he achieved a lot of his chart success. Perfect Day enjoyed his second boost of success in 1996 when it was featured in the movie Trainspotting, which is a great film as well. And again, a year later, it was re-recorded as a celebratory cast for the BBC charity single as well. As a solo artist, Lou Reed released 20 studio albums. His last, Hudson River, was released in 2007. He's survived by his second wife, musician and performer Laurie Anderson. Lou Reed dead at the age of 71, primarily due to liver failure. He was an admitted heavy drinker in his early days. He had a liver transplant back in June of this year. And unfortunately, obviously, succumbing to that illness at the age of 71, Lou Reed, very influential to a lot of different bands, as I mentioned there, R.E.M., David Bowie, you know, Nirvana, Patti Smith, really transcending, you know, over 30, almost 40 years, generations. I think maybe the newer generation might not be as familiar, but, you know, obviously a guy whose impact in the 60s, and obviously transcending and crossing music genres there was really, really key. So obviously, you know, a great songwriter, a great poet as well, Lou Reed, dead at the age of 71. So obviously sad news, but let's tell you, let's pick things up. Mindset Evolution coming, joining us in just a moment. Rob, the lead singer from the band, again, will be joining us. So definitely check that out. But right now, let's take a look and listen a cut off their album. It is The Ready here on Revelator.
Is your thing?
Let's go.
Joining me now here on Revelator is Rob from the band Mindset Evolution. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time out for me today.
Yeah, it's great, man. Thanks for having us on. I really appreciate it.
No, it's been a pleasure, man. You know, we talked before, mentioned before the show, we've been trying to get you guys on for a while, and I'm glad to finally have you guys on. I really dig the new album, which we'll get into in a moment. Now, you guys have been on the road, you know, playing all kinds of shows, and I think you said it, you're in, what, Nebraska right now with iEmpire, right?
Right. We're out with them on the Impact and Evolve tour, and we're also out with our homies True Becoming from out on the East Coast. They're also out on the tour with us, and it's been a blast so far. I mean, these guys are fucking killer, man. They throw down so hard. It's great.
Awesome, man. Well, it sounds like you guys are, you know, out doing it and hitting the road. Now, you did a small run with Fight for Flight, which features Dan Chandler and Mike Wingren from Disturbed. What was it like to play with those guys and, you know, to open up for those guys every night, man?
It was amazing. You're with, you know, two of your guys, you know, with Dan and Mike that, I mean, these guys are idols, you know, like they used to be in my, I had an alarm clock that had a CD player on it, and I would wake up to Disturbed in the morning because it was just, you know, it would get me going. It was aggressive enough, you know? So, right. I mean, this is a band that's been a part of my life for years, and now I'm out on tour with two of the founding members of that group. And, you know, Dan Chandler from Evans Blue, I love him. He's an incredible lyricist, incredible vocalist. And so we're kind of honestly thinking we're going to get out there and it's going to be like, yeah, you guys stand over there. We'll stand over here. Let's not really talk too much, you know, let's not hang out. But they were exactly the opposite. I mean, they were so friendly, so cool. They really took care of us. And like, they gave us our first real rock star moment, real like kind of crazy rock star moment story where we got, I guess it's not too crazy. I mean, everybody's clothes stayed on, so it's not that crazy. But to us, it was crazy. Our album had just dropped, Brave, Bold, and Broken, and we went to Best Buy in Iowa while we were on the tour. We were heading through. We were just going to pick it up because we didn't have our own physical copy yet. And when we get to the Best Buy, we see their tour bus is parked outside, out front Best Buy. We're like, what are these guys doing here? And as we go walking up to the door, here comes Dan Donegan and their tour tech, John, and they've got all the records. They're like, oh, sorry, guys, they're all sold out. And we're like, what? No, you guys. They went and bought all our CDs. I had a Best Buy. And then they made us stand there and sign them. So then I'm signing an autograph for, you know, one of my guitar heroes. Oh, my God. It's just a great moment, man. Those guys are so incredible live, and they're such good people. It's really cool.
That's awesome. And it's always good to hear, you know, guys who have reached a certain level in the industry that, you know, are out there, you know, at least giving back and don't have really big egos. And when we interviewed Mike, he gave big props to your drummer, Joey, as well on the show. So he said he was a big fan of you guys and watching you guys play. And I got to tell you, man, the album is great. Now, I mean, playing with guys like this, I mean, is there, you know, obviously, you seeing them play, I imagine you learn quite a bit just from observing. But also, I mean, do they give you guys advice as a young band? I know you guys have been around for a little while, but as a young band kind of, you know, on the, you know, coming up and being on these big tours, they give you any advice, you know, as far as even vocally, you know, saving your voice or, you know, musically or how you, you know, present yourself professionally and musically?
I mean, not really. It's not so much of a spoken advice thing as it is, you know, they kind of show you how to do it, you know, and you learn how to take care of yourself and respect the stage and respect the audience by watching these, you know, these bands that are seasoned and know exactly what they're doing. You know, you know, I can't say that anybody's ever taken us aside and been like, hey man, you got to do this thing. You know, the only thing that anybody's ever really said is just, you know, stay humble and respect the stage. And that's about it. And that really, I came from, you know, the Seven Dust guys a long time ago. So, I mean, it's cool though. Everybody's always, it's strange. Like you get out here and you think all these bands are going to be like distant and it's going to be hard to connect, but you know, it's so far from the truth. Everybody's really cool and really helpful. And it's very much a brotherhood. And then if you've got your eyes and your ears and your heart open, you learn quickly how to make sure that you can stay alive out here.
Very cool, man. It's always good to hear. And in my experiences, you know, going to shows and doing interviews with people, man, everyone is really cool. And the stereotypes that you hear are exactly that. They're exactly the opposite, man. Everybody's very cool and humble and easygoing, easy to get along with. And it's refreshing. And it really is. Talking about, you know, obviously you talk about the rock star moment earlier, being on the tour. You know, how do you break up the daily grind from touring from one town to the next town? You know, you guys play pranks on one another. What do you guys kind of do to kind of break up the monotony a little bit?
Really, we just, I don't know. I don't think we've really developed anything like that for us. I mean, we're so go hard. Like, for us, breaking up the monotony is just getting to the venue and starting to meet people, you know, and like that's what makes it different, is that you meet different people in every city and every venue, you know, you make new fans and new friends, and that's kind of what, you know, keeps it going. So for us, it's still kind of, I mean, we just started touring nationally hardcore last year with the Rockstar Energy Drink Uproar Festival. And so it's really still kind of very fresh to us. And this is, touring for us is the only thing we've ever wanted to do. Like, we didn't even really plan on getting signed or releasing a national album or any of that. We just wanted to be out on the road. And after we got the opportunity last year, we just haven't stopped. So I don't know. It doesn't seem monotonous at all.
Awesome. Well, that's good, man. You guys are out there having fun. I mean, obviously meeting new fans, making new fans, that's got to be pretty cool. You guys get to hang out at the merch table and meet new fans and stuff. What's the most interesting thing a fan has said or done with you guys, man?
Oh, no.
He knew it was coming, man. He knew it was coming.
These ones are always so interesting. I don't know. People are usually generally very, very, very kind. But I think for me, when I think of what's the most interesting thing a fan has done for us, I think of one of our strong supporters. Her name's Christine Davis, and she's out from the East Coast. And we showed up in I think it was Pennsylvania. And she comes to the show and she's like, come outside. I have a surprise for you guys. We're like, what? She's like, I have a surprise for you guys. Like, okay. So we get out to the back of her car and she's got her trunk. Her and her mom has filled her trunk with food and bottles of Jaeger and all kinds of snacks and just like all kinds of things like tour essentials that, you know, you need and that you could really use to stay alive out here on the road. And she had just thought of all these things on her own. She had put together this big gift package and brought it out and gave it to us. And it was really the first time anything like that had happened for us. And it was just, you know, it was just amazing. Like, to know that there's people out there that appreciate what we're doing so much and are so involved that they consider us family and they do, you know, special things like that. That's to me what I remember the most, you know?
That's awesome. Anyway, I mean, if they're gift wrapping bottles of Jaeger for you, that she's definitely a keeper for sure, man.
Oh yeah, dude, she's one of our favorites. Christine's awesome. I'm gonna make sure that I tell her to tune in so she knows that I talked about her and her lovely self.
Right on, man. Now I want to kind of switch gears on you a little bit, Rob, about, you know, the album that came out about 3 months ago now. You guys recorded with Johnny K, and we've had the privilege of talking to a lot of musicians who've worked with Johnny K. Talk to me about what it's like to work with a guy like this who's really well known and, you know, obviously really well respected in the industry. The album Brave, Bold, and Broken, dude, I really dig the album, and I think a lot of people were talking about this as, you know, breakout, you as a breakout artist. I mean, the album is great top to bottom, man. We're gonna hear tracks obviously tonight on the show, but talk to me what it's like to work with a guy like Johnny K and to have a really solid album top to bottom, man.
You know, it's really great when you get into a situation like this and you have, you know, you have a group of songs that you've worked really hard on and that you feel are communicating what you're trying to say, and that people are responding to them and calling it, you know, saying that it's a great album top to bottom. Going into the situation with Johnny, there was two songs that were only music beds. And it was very difficult because we wrote the entire album over the course of about a year and a half. But during that year and a half, we only got about 3 months to actually write the album. And it was all broken up and all over the place. We didn't get a chance to sit down and consistently write. So when we got to Johnny with our 3 months worth of work, you know, we had, you know, like the greater body of the work was finished except for these two songs, but there was still a lot of things we weren't happy with that we hadn't had time to address. So when you ask what it was like to work with him, it was extremely intimidating because he's like, man, I really wanted to bring everything that I had, complete, ready, complete ideas. And we just didn't, you know, there was just didn't have time because everything was starting to blow up so quickly. And so it was tough to like get to that point where we could sift through all the issues in the songs and start to address them one by one. And that's where the real interesting part of Johnny started to show itself and develop, is he's just so passionate about every part of the song connecting in a fluid way and hitting in the right way when it's supposed to. And he's really smart about this. And so it was like, I don't know, it was like going to college and your professor is your best friend. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a super cool guy, but his ideas are so, he's so strong, so passionate about it that, you know, you're like, okay, all right, I think I get it. You know, I think I get what you're saying. Like, let's try that idea. No, that's not good enough. Let's try this idea. No, that's not good enough. Let's try that idea. And it's, you're cycling through like 25 ideas for a 30-second part, and you finally get the one that you need. And then it's just, I don't know. I can't explain eloquently what it's like, or succinctly what it's like, because it was just such a huge experience. And there was so much that happened in the time working with him, but I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world. The guy's a genius. And I mean, obviously he's got, you know, he helped Pop Eagle get a number one on their newest record. So it's
right.
You know, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You know, look at the guy's body of work and you know, this guy is brilliant.
Well, a lot of the stuff he's done recently, you mentioned Pop Eagle. They've been on the show. We, you know, working on the latest Nonpoint album and an up and coming band out of LA called Black Lodge, also working with those guys too. So, I mean, you know, obviously he's a diverse collection of music, one, but you know, a lot of people have said, you know, just his tone and his attention to detail, and you mentioned per song, per note, the tone, and just really, you know, pushing bands musically, but also, you know, being subtle about it and the way that maybe he goes about doing it. I you know, I've heard is, you know, sometimes, you know, you guys work with producers, you know, and it's just the way they put it, you know, sometimes, and it seems like he just has a way of putting it to where it's, you know, just kind of opens bands up, and it's really a delight to hear it. And when people hear the album, if you haven't heard it already, ladies and gentlemen, you have to hear it. It's a great album. We're going to hear more tracks tonight, but I want to talk about, you know, a lot of people, you know, talking about, again, as a new band, but you guys have been around for quite some time. You originally formed in 2005. Talk to me about the origins of the band and how you guys kind of came to be where you are now.
I mean, it was always an identity thing. Like, we don't like, I don't know, we never wanted to be part of a group of anything, you know. And I think when most people really want to be individual and they really want to have their own voice and their own ideals. And we've always taken that very, very, very seriously. At the core of what we do, that is who and what we are. We believe that, you know, when you can pull into yourself, when you can take your focus off of the world around you and start to look at yourself and build yourself, respect yourself, and start to fix yourself, prepare yourself, and become the person that you want to be individually, you start to change and affect everyone around you. And you can see that change in a positive way. And that's what happened with our band. You know, we were friends, we had a cover band, we were jamming, and you know, we liked what we were doing, we were having fun. But our local scene back in Peoria at the time was very, 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 very metal. Everything was metal. And that's cool. Metal's great. You know, it's a fantastic way to express yourself and one of the many ways to do so. But there wasn't really anybody speaking for the hard rock world or the active rock world in our scene at the time. And so for us, it was kind of a natural progression. I've always written by myself on my acoustic guitar, and I've always, my heart and soul have been rooted in melody and strong hooks, you know, since I started writing music. So it was kind of like, you know, I think there's a gap here. Let's fill it. Let's write our own songs. You know, and we started to work together and started really, really focusing on writing, and came out with our first record of three independent records that we released. And it just kind of went from there. It snowballed. Everybody was very excited about it, and our scene responded very well to it. And then our entire region started to respond to it really well. And then next thing you know, we're on the Upward Tour and we're a signed band. So, you know, it seems like it happened overnight, really. Like when I think about it and I put it into context, but really, I mean, it's been stretched out over 8 years of extremely hard work. But, I mean, it just all started with friendship, man, and the idea that you can be yourself and it's okay.
Well, dude, I think that I think that is well said, man. I mean, obviously the eight, you know, obviously the hard work is paying off. You know, the like I said, the album is great, and you know, as a cover band, do you remember any of the covers you guys used to play it on, man? You know, back in the day, is there any certain covers that you know you're like, oh, man, you know this? Any you guys bust any covers out every once in a while if you get an extra, you know, 5-10 minute set or anything? You know, is there a cover you're like, you know what, let's jam this tune out, man?
No, not anymore. I wish. I kind of miss it. You know, it was always a lot of fun. But, you know, we were a party band, and we did a lot of really fun stuff. You know, we did like Nelly songs, and we did Tool songs, and we did Blink 182 songs, and we did Godsmack songs, you know, but we were just kind of all over the place. We were a very eclectic cover band. We weren't very successful because we didn't want to play AC/DC or, you know, we didn't want to play this, you know, what is that? 8675309 Jenny song, you know, or Jesse's Girl or Brown Eyed Girl. You don't want to play those songs. Everybody was playing those songs. I mean, even in our cover band, we were like, damn it, we want to be ourselves. And like, so it was, we kind of sucked, honestly.
Here's our version of Purple Rain. I hope you like it.
Nope.
Well, you mentioned a little earlier there about, you know, being who you want to be and evolving and changing. And I think that's a testament to a lot of bands out there is, you know, adapting and changing and finding something that you just like doing, you know, not writing an album that everybody else is writing or writing the same hook or the same sequence, you know, that everybody else is doing. And again, and I keep saying this, the album, I think speaks to that, you know, sometimes it's hard to be the person you were born to be. It really is, you know, and, you know, to follow it and go after it. And I think you guys definitely did that, man. And I really dig it. And it's been a pleasure talking with you guys. I mean, do you remember, you know, the band name, Mindset Evolution? Do you remember how that name came to be or, you know, like, you know, this is the name we're going with. Do you remember that conversation, how that came to be?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually pretty simple. We were just talking about what we believe, you know, and what we believe in life. And, we talk about just seeing the world a different way, being brave enough to see the world in a different way, you know, that you can have your dreams, you can have the life that you want, you can forge a path that you choose, but only after you burn the box that you were born into. And so many of us are conditioned to be fearful and to be, you know, we're scared to try. We think that we're too weak to accomplish, you know, and the world really does a good job of making you kind of sit still and stagnate, you know, don't try too hard. You know, try just hard enough. Like this is the American dream. You get, you know, go to college, get your house, get a little white picket fence around it, find yourself a lady, go inside of it, make a couple of babies, relax and die. And I think that for us, we wanted a different mindset. We wanted to approach the world in a different way. And there was a quote from Albert Einstein that alluded to, you can't get to somewhere new using the same approach that you've used to get where you are now. You can't ever take another step once you stagnate, once you plateau, unless you change the way you think, unless you change your approach, unless you have a mindset evolution. And that's where it all came from.
Very cool, man. And it's a nice, I think it's a nice positive message too, man, that, you know, just because, you know, maybe there's a magazine or, you know, the things you hear on the radio or you could, any aspect of life, I guess, in the world that we live in, you know, you could probably look at that angle, you know, and it's good to have that positive outlook. Like, you know, just because, you know, I'm hearing this all the time or I'm seeing this in a certain magazine or I hear this there on TV, radio, whatever it may be, you know, it's telling you you should do this, that, and the other, you know, it's good to, you know, take a step back and maybe look at a different angle, you know? So I dig the name. Do you remember any names that you guys came up with that didn't make the cut, by the way?
No, not for this particular band, but Josh Bodine and myself, the bassist, we've been working together and writing together with Brad, the guitarist, since forever. And we cycled through what we called Lifting Shadows for a minute. We had our cover band and kind of pseudo original band started as Discord, and then we became Mindset Evolution, and that's really about it. Mindset Evolution has been the bigger part of our musical career, and it's kind of just always been exactly that.
Very cool, man. Do you remember like a moment, you know, musically as a youth where you decided, you know what, this is what I want to do for my life? Do you remember like your moment or like the first concert or, you know, the moment that kind of you know, shed the light for you as far as this is what I want to do musically and this is what I want to do with my career?
I do, actually. Like, I remember, you know, sitting in my sister's basement. You know, she's been my heart and soul. We didn't have parents growing up. We very much raised ourselves. And so we've been through a great deal together. And everything I've ever done, I've done with her and under her guidance and loving care. And I was in her basement writing on acoustic guitar that I had just gotten for my birthday. And I played her little song, and she was just so excited that I put this song together. And by the way, it was absolutely terrible. But she thought it was the greatest thing, and she was so excited about it. And she decided that what she should do is take me to see a concert. So we go see Summer Sanitarium with Deftones and Limp Bizkit and Metallica and Linkin Park. I mean, it was fantastic lineup. It was definitely the who's who at the time. And by the way, Limp Bizkit got booed off a stage in Chicago at that particular show because he had a beef with Mancow. Anyways, I'm sitting there and we're watching it, and I look over at her. Metallica's on stage, and it's the end of the night, and it's dark. And I just said, "Sis, I think I'm going to be on that stage one day." And it happens, you know. And we like the biggest one to date, playing to 5,500 people in Bethlehem, PA, with Avenged Sevenfold and Fight or Flight. You know, just a 3-band bill, and we got to open up the whole day, and it was a stage just like that, in a moment just like that. And I got to call my sister, and I was like, "Hey, you remember?" And she's like, "Of course I remember." So yeah, that was the moment.
Cool, man. Well, that's a nice memory, and I appreciate you sharing that on the show. Again, switching gears, man, as we close out, and we'll obviously do some promo and stuff. But I'm a big sports guy, and you know, movies and music and all that stuff. You know, so I guess, you know, being from Illinois, you mentioned earlier before the show that you're a Bears fan. Obviously, you guys are having a good season. Things are looking up. Do you guys think you can make a deep playoff run this year?
I think the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl. I think that every year, though, and we usually don't. So, but in my opinion, worse. But no, they got stomped yesterday, and then Green Bay won, which is salt in the wound. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. I guess it's an okay year. I wouldn't call it a good year. I'm upset right now about it.
Well, I mean, you guys, you know, went through the coaching change, old Lovie Smith out of there, you know, with the new coach and everything. And, you know, you guys have some injuries. Cutler got hurt yesterday. So, you know, I like the Bears. I think they got a good team. You know, a lot of season to go, though, you know. And, you know, obviously, yeah, we won't mention the Cubs, you know. So, we'll leave the Cubs out of it. But as many know, I'm a Cleveland sports fan. So, you know, we have pain and misery on every aspect, on every single category as far as football, baseball, and basketball goes. But we'll leave it there at that. But, you know, in your free time, man, are you, you know, kind of a movie buff? Or, you know, is there any certain bands that you will listen to in your free time at all? You know, whether it be bands from the past, or is there any current bands out there that maybe people aren't aware of that you're listening to that maybe people should definitely check out?
You know, like I have this unfortunate like luck where I love a local band a lot, and then they'll break up and the music isn't even out in the public yet. So a lot of the music I listen to is like that, but I listen to a lot of my local music from home in Peoria in a local scene, a band Clip Point, Life and Cycle, the guys in Shadows Inc. Like, these are all fantastic bands coming out of Peoria, Illinois. And in terms of bands that I listen to on a regular basis, I love 30 Seconds to Mars. I love everything that Maynard touches. Tool, A Perfect Circle, Pussifer. I am absolutely addicted to the Pussifer album, Conditions of My Parole. Probably one of the best all-around albums I've ever heard in my entire life. And I seriously have been listening to it now for 3.5 weeks straight. I have not stopped. It has not left my ears since the first time I listened to it. So, I mean, that's a fantastic, fantastic record. But I've also, you know, once I get over this, I'll go right back to cycling through all the Jay-Z records. I love Jay-Z, and all the Tool records, and all the Perfect Circle records, and all the 30 Second to Mars records. I just kind of cycle those on a regular basis. The other things make it in, you know, like the influences are always going to be there. The Eagles and the Beatles and the Creedence Clearwater Revival and, you know, Nine Inch Nails, you know, like Pantera, bands like that are always going to make their way back in. But for the most part, right now, I'm just addicted to Pussifer.
Right on, man. Well, cool. Well, hey, Rob, I appreciate you taking the time, man. If people are interested in finding out more about Mindset Evolution and what you guys are up to, what town and cities you guys are going to be playing in, how can they find that more information about you guys?
You can find out everything you want to know about us, including our quirky little personalities, all on facebook.com/mindsetevolution, or you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and it's just Mindset Evo on both of those. And we have mindsetevolution.com where you can come check out our tour dates and such.
Right on. I encourage everyone to check out the video for Burn It Down as well. It's a really cool video.
Yeah, thank you. And that was a lot of fun shooting that. We shot it behind a church, and the church was kind enough to host us inside and let us use it as a dressing room. They fed us, and we're like, awesome. Oh, okay, this is interesting, but it worked. Right.
Awesome. And no, hey, that's really cool, man. Well, hey, Rob, best of luck on tour, man. Be safe out there, and definitely keep in touch, my man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ryan.
On, and I wish I could help you some. get where you gotta be. I've lived enough life that I hardly see. It's this perception of pressure that keeps me moving on. As life moves forward, so does the clock. No end to struggle, no end to stop. It's this aggression from every direction rubbing off.
Mindset Evolution here on Revelator. That is Burn It Down off the brand new album, Brave, Bold, and Broken. That is the single off that album. Again, I encourage everyone to go onto YouTube, check out Mindset Evolution on their site as well, and watch the video as well. It's a really cool video. And big thanks to Rob and the guys from Mindset Evolution for coming on and sharing a bunch of tracks off the new album, Brave, Bold, and Broken. Really good stuff, and happy to have those guys on. For more information about Mindset Evolution, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. You can find us on Facebook as well. That is facebook.com/omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. You can find me, Ryan, on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned. Click on Revelator episode number 33. Unbelievable. And also, for those of you listening on Radio 365 Network, feel free to go back and listen to a lot of our past guests as well, including The Black Lodge featuring Tui Ramirez from Marilyn Manson, Candlelight Red, Clint Lowry from Seven Dust. The list goes on. Nonpoint, Taproot, Orionthe, a lot of other really, really great guests. Digital Summer, the list goes on and on there. So I definitely encourage everyone to head on over to omnes.tv, click on the Revelator logo. Boom, you're right there. You're all access and hear everything we've been doing for quite some time. We appreciate the support. And we move on tonight with our NFL Pigskin Picks. I had a much better week than I did last week. I really did. I went 10-3 on the week. It puts me at 76-43 on the season. And I tell you what, the season is unfolding in a very strange way. I mean, obviously, at the halfway point right now, a lot of things shaking out. And obviously, there's some really bad teams as well out there. But let's take a look at the picks this week. We'll start with the Thursday night game. This is an interesting game, mainly because the Cincinnati Bengals are quietly at 6-2, just kind of going on doing their thing. And obviously, they have some injury issues at the corners in the secondary, but the Dolphins losing a heartbreaker last week to the Patriots. I'm taking Cincinnati on on a short week here. You have the Tennessee Titans coming out of a bye week, heading to St. Louis. This is interesting for a lot of reasons. One, Jeff Fisher, our longtime former head coach of the Titans, hosting his old team. This is an interesting dichotomy here. With that being said, the Rams' defense is outstanding. They have major issues at the quarterback position, but so does Tennessee. Jake Locker hasn't set the world on fire by any means. Don't expect this to be a barn burner of a game. This is going to be one of those 9-6 games. This is if somebody scores a touchdown in this game, they're probably going to win the game. This is going to be an ugly ball game. Neither of these teams offensively are very, very effective. The Saints heading to the Meadowlands take on the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 and Geno Smith. Surprised at 4-4 this year, but I think the Saints, again, coming off a bye week as well. Man, the Saints are tough. And again, the Saints in New England and the Bengals, two teams not a lot of people are talking about, but really, really quietly having solid seasons. Another team that I'm really high on right now that's playing good football, the San Diego Chargers, stay classy, San Diego. Taking on the Washington Redskins, who are a mess right now in a lot of different scenarios. This is in Washington. Chargers coming off a bye week as well. They have traveled a lot this year, and they traveled well. At 4-3 heading to Washington, I expect this to be a really entertaining game. I'm taking the Chargers on the road. The Chiefs heading to Buffalo. Look, they escaped the Cleveland Browns. They didn't do anything to wow me. I think the Chiefs' defense is good. Alex Smith is okay. They don't do anything spectacular on offense. I would say if the upset, if anybody's going to get upset this week, it would be Kansas City in Buffalo. But I think that defense is just too good at Kansas City. I think they win in Buffalo this week. The Falcons, a major disappointment on the season, heading to Carolina, who is playing some outstanding defense, and Cam Newton just being a really, really, just being efficient, not turning the ball over to Carolina at home. Vikings, Cowboys. The Vikings are a mess. This is an easy one for me. Cowboys all the way at home. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers head up to the 12th man in Seattle. This could be ugly. I'm taking Seattle in a big time over this one, over those lonely Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They might as well bust out the creamsicle orange jerseys the rest of the season at 0-7. The Eagles heading to Oakland. Terrell Pryor and the Oakland Raiders, a big surprise. I don't think a lot of people thought they would be as competitive as they are. Beating the Steelers last week, and I think they beat the Eagles this week at home. The Steelers heading to New England, taking New England this one. Baltimore heading to Cleveland. It's the old Browns versus the new Browns. That being said, I'm taking the old Browns to beat the old to beat the new Browns. All right. That being said, I'm taking the Ravens. Colts division game against the Texans. Another team, much like Atlanta, major disappointment. Colts coming off a bye week as well. Taking the Colts on a Sunday night feature. Monday night football. This could be one of the best Monday night games of the year. A lot of them have been pretty bad. Packers, Bears in Lambeau Field. I'm taking the Packers on this one, only for the simple fact that no Jay Cutler for the Bears. They are coming off a bye week as well. A lot of bye weeks, a lot of teams, you know, shifting and moving here. But with that being said, I like the Packers at home on Monday night. Those are the pigskin picks here on Revelator. Now, excuse me. It is Halloween. It's that time of year. You know, kids are dressing up, trick or treating. You know, horror films. We got, you know, horror films. And we haven't talked a whole lot about specific horror films this year. I thought, you know, let's compile. I'll get it out. Let's compile a top 10 list. Now, Mike, we sat down and talked about this, and we had a list of a ton of movies here. We had The Shining, The Ring. Scream, Blair Witch Project, 28 Days Later. You had what other ones did you have on the list, man?
Let's see, I had People Under the Stairs. Did you see that?
I did not know.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Blair Witch Project. There was a bunch. Silence of the Lambs. I think you said that already.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs, It, Poltergeist, oh, yeah, Jaws, yeah. Alien, World War Z, which is a newer film, but still pretty good. So there's obviously a lot to pick from. Paranormal Activity, you know, trying to narrow it down to what the Revelator top 10 would be. So after much deliberation, you know, we had our we tied our children down and we made them watch all the horror films too. So they're terrified; they're not sleeping well tonight, which is okay. It's Halloween. Trick or treat, kids. our top 10 list is this. At number 10, we had 28 Days Later. Now, at number 9 and 8, we kind of weren't sure in which way to go here, but we went Psycho at number 9, Poltergeist at number 8.
And remember, the Psycho is the original 1960 version.
Exactly, yes. This is not the remake with Vince Vaughn or whoever the hell plays the remake there. You know,
like, Vince Vaughn.
Like, you know, I just imagine every time I see that, I just think Vince Vaughn and Swingers is coming out. I was like, ah, Mom, I want to do it. You know,
was it Vince Vaughn in the remake?
I think it was Vince Vaughn.
Really?
I think it was.
I'm looking it up.
Mike is looking up right now. I think it is, man. I'm pretty sure that it is.
Well, let's just say it came out in 1998. It only has a rating of 4.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah.
And I believe you're right. It is Vince Vaughn who played Norman Bates. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I always see him confused with the guy.
Vince Vaughn not convincing as Norman Bates. Hard to believe.
He's not crashing any weddings in that movie. I can tell you that.
He's
crashing some shower scenes though. But
I'm sure Vince Vaughn has crashed some shower scenes other than Psycho though. But that's another story for another time. Poltergeist number 8, number 7, The Exorcist. Linda Blair spinning head. I mean, it's an iconic image, and I'm sure people were like, really only number 7? I'm like, we got it on number 7. Stick with us here. Number 6 was one that I really pushed for, and that was the original Night of the Living Dead, 1968. Really a trendsetter as far as, you know, look at all the zombie movies now. Obviously we had 28 Days Later at number 10, another movie that I pushed for to be in the top 10. Really great film. I really enjoy it. Another one that I pushed for hard at number 5, this is our top 5 on the horror list now, is Hills Have Eyes. This is a hard one to classify other than it's just messed up. It's just a messed up movie. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to go out and definitely watch it. Now, here's our top 4. And I think I think a lot of these ones here could be interchangeable for a lot of people. But at number 4, we have the original Halloween. So a pretty popular Halloween costume with the hockey mask, right?
Was it a hockey mask for Halloween? It was just a white mask. I thought it was just a white creepy mask.
Kind of like a hockey mask.
It was
mask.
Like an expressionless face, man.
Yeah.
It was cold as cold could get.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Good job, Michael Myers.
All right. And Alien. What can you say? It's Alien. That's a Ridley Scott film. Really good stuff. And Silence of the Lambs at number 2. Khalees. I ate his liver with fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah. Did you know that was never actually scripted?
Oh, really? No,
that was not in the original script. I mean, the line he said was in the original script, but that sound he makes, which just makes it, just turns it to the utmost level of creepiness.
Right.
Improvised.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact you mentioned it on pre-show. I mean, the fact that that's real. You know, like someone is actually stuffing their penis between their legs and, you know, dancing around. You know, that's legit right there.
Yeah, I do like the Joe Dirt take on it, but that's a whole other conversation.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
He's like, oh, whatever. It puts a lotion on its skin. Did you bring me my, what did he want? Like some kind of like car magazine or something?
Right, yeah. My Auto Trader magazine.
Yeah, Auto Trader. He wanted to look at his Auto Trader. God, that's a great movie.
That is a great movie. And number 1 on our Revelator Top 10 Horror List, consensus number 1, hands down, was The Shining.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you say? All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Do you remember, we were still in high school. Had that buddy Paul that I used to work with at right? Do you remember the hallway in his second apartment when he moved to a nicer apartment? Do you remember that hallway?
Yes.
Did that not remind you of The Shining?
Yes.
Same color scheme and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that hallway drunk or anything, trust me. Scared the living shit out of me.
Just long, endless hallway.
I remember a friend of mine went there with me one time. You know, we went there to a party and it was probably like 1 or 2 in the morning and we walk out of the apartment into that hallway, and he looks at me, he goes, do you know? I was like, yeah, dude, I know. He's like, what are we doing in this hallway? I'm like, well, let's get the hell out of here.
Makes you just want to jump on a big wheel, doesn't it, and pedal around?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, if you remember, I had an apartment in Columbus, Ohio years and years ago. We had a big, huge picture of Jack from The Shining, where he hacks the door open with an axe and sticks through. He's like, "Here's Johnny." We had that on a red painted blood wall.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And like every time you walked in that apartment, it was just like that. You couldn't help but feel Jack was watching you every time you walked anywhere in that place. And you know, the nice blood red wall and behind it was really set the poster off.
Well,
really,
yeah, nice. It gave you a sense of security.
It did, yeah. Feeling a little comfortable here. Come sit in the living room.
Yes, this room now has purpose.
Right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is our top 10 Revelator horror movies for Halloween. Now, we had a couple honorable mentions there. One of my honorable mentions was The Ring. I think it was 2002. Hard to believe that movie came out in 2002, but The Ring, I always thought was kind of a creepy movie.
Yeah, and a lot of people I know liked it. And actually, when I went online, I did notice that there were a lot of top 25 or even top 50s that had The Ring listed pretty high. Did you ever see the original? The one that's actually out of, I think it was Japanese originally.
No, I have not seen the foreign film of The Ring, no.
Yeah.
I imagine it's also very creepy.
I'm sure the subtitles are a blast to read, though.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right, that's the only reason why typically the films that people want to read that are out of this country are typically love films, because they go so slow.
Very good stuff.
Yeah.
Wait, Mike, thanks for helping me out and compiling the list here for Halloween. Now, you and the family do anything interesting for Halloween other than making them watch The Ring?
Actually, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre will be played on in loop on my TV. No lights on.
Mention.
Yeah, no lights on. And I'm actually going to try to get a cast iron bathtub put in the living room. And I'm going to dress up some. Maybe I'll have to find an old homeless man or maybe find an Icelandic skin suit.
There you go.
And I was going to have an old man that hovered over it with a hammer, because, you know, that's grandpa.
Right.
But no. Kids are obviously going to do the ditto. They're going to go out. They're going to get an insane amount of candy and be uncontrollable for the next 2 weeks.
There you go. Yeah, I think we're doing the same. My son's doing it. This is the first time he's done trick or treat, so it'll be interesting.
Nice.
See how he does. So he's the cutest Batman ever, you know, so you can't go wrong with that. So there's the list there. Also, Chainsaw Massacre on one of our honorable mentions as well. Didn't quite make the top 10, but definitely worth mentioning. So you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, a big shout out and thanks to Mindset Evolution, Rob from Mindset Evolution. Really good dudes. And definitely go check the album out. If you like what you heard tonight, you'll love the rest of the album. It's good stuff. Again, hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 33, Real Men of Skin Pants. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.